Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. Gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Gotta change it now, just you and me.
Amen, 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 amen. To God be the glory. We thank God once again for this wonderful evening. We declare and we decree that this is and will be the best night that you've ever spent, October 15th, 2012. And we just declare and we decree that God is in the midst of doing some miraculous things in each and every one of your lives. We know that so many of you come with anticipation, come ready and prepared to receive a word in season. And we just thank God, as always, for your presence here on this evening. My name is Tammy Storr, and as always, we'll be joined by our brother Jesse Storr, and we thank God for what he has in store for each and every one of us on this evening. We know God is an awesome God, and he's a great God, and there's so many things that he desires for us to share with you, but through our discernment that he speaks to us, we bring you forth a word that we believe that God is in need of delivering to each and every one of you. So tonight, as we speak on oneness, as we do each and every week, we will be focusing on loving your wife as you love your own bodies. And we're not just speaking to the men. Ladies, wives, we know that there's so much that you can learn tonight as well. We don't mean to step on any toes on this evening, but we just bring the word as simplified as we can for your understanding. And we know that the word of God is our instructions of life. And if we continue to move forward in this life with the instructions at hand, we will have much more success than we can ever imagine. God will be able to open up windows in heaven and pour out blessings for your marriage that you would not have room enough to receive. And we just thank God that he is just an awesome God. He is a God that is a forgiving God. He is a God that understands that we are human beings, and he created us, so he knows all about us, that there are going to be situations, there are going to be times when we must come before him and ask for forgiveness. We must come before our spouse and ask for forgiveness, because every now and then, I guarantee you, we're going to miss the mark. We are going to make mistakes along the way, but it's not the end of the world. It's not to the point where it causes us to even bring up that ugly D word. And so I'm just thanking God, the more we gain an understanding of what it is in the Word of God that God has in store for each and every one of us, we ourselves would be better individuals, better spouses. And so I'm just so grateful and so thankful that you came prepared and ready to receive tonight. As always, we must bring in and offer in the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing our paths. And so tonight, as we move forward and as we continue to share, we desire for the Holy Spirit to be here. In the Word, it talks about where two or more are gathered together. And I thank God that you are part of that two or more tonight. And as you stand in agreement with our opening prayer, I'm just so grateful and thankful for your presence. And I thank you in advance. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, as always, we come before your throne, thanking you for another day. Lord God, this is a day that we've never seen before, a day we know in our hearts of hearts we'll never see again. But in this day, Father God, we are full of thanksgiving. We are thanking you, Lord God, that you've allowed us to live this day and live it, Father God, to live it more abundantly than we ever have before. I thank you, Father God, that you give us choices to make. We can either choose, Father God, to live life full or live life empty. And tonight, I just declare and I decree in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that each and every individual under the sound of my voice and all of those that are connected with us, Lord God, that you will allow us to continue to move forward and be encouraged by your word, be encouraged, Lord God, by your angels that you send our way day in and day out. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would continue to be our mouthpieces wherever we may go. There's so many individuals that are in need of hearing a word from you. And Father God, let's face it, that there's sometimes situations that we are the only word or the only Bible that a lot of the individuals that we come in contact with see or hear. So I thank you, Lord God, for boldness. I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity that you allow us to be willing vessels to share with so many that we come in contact with a word from you. And I know, Lord God, so often we might say to ourselves that we don't know what to say or how to say it or how to even relate to what some of these individuals are going through. But, Father God, I just thank you that these powerful, God-fearing men and women that are on the line tonight, that as they come and participate in the Blog Talk Radio show, that they would recognize, know, and understand, Father, the power that you've already stored within them, that you will allow them to use it for the upbuilding and uplifting of your kingdom by going and sharing and being disciples unto you. And Father God, being, Father, the individual you need them to be. And I thank you for the ambassadors that you have in all of us, that, Father, if there's an individual in need of a, Father, divine divine intervention from you, that, Father, we would take the time to be able to speak life into these individuals, that we will pray over them. And I know, Father, you've given us power and strength to be able to lay hands on situations and declare and decree it's done in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord. And we already receive it through our faith and our belief that it's done. So tonight, Lord God, I know there's so many that you desire for us to reach out and touch and be a part of, but tonight, Father, I'm praying that we reach out and we touch our spouses tonight, that you will allow us to declare and decree a word over their lives, that you will allow us to recognize, know, and understand that we, Father God, are such an instrumental force in each other's lives. Allow us to be able to be respectful and be, Father God, kind and be able to be gentle. And thank you for the self-control that you've placed in us, that we will and can make a difference in our marriages just by how we respond one to another. I thank you, Lord God, tonight that when we see things that aren't going on in our lives in the way that we know you've ordained them, Father, that you've given us the power and the ability to be able to cast out the evil one and send them back out of our homes, out of our cars, or wherever we may be, Lord God, when we know that he's trying to enter in to steal, kill, and destroy what you've put together. And I thank you, Lord God, that you were allow us, Father God, that divine intervention from you to be able to turn whatever it is around, Father God, that Satan tries to make for our bad. And we know, Lord God, the power that's within you, you can turn it around for our good. Tonight, Lord God, I just thank you for these wonderful God-fearing men and women that have come to learn more about what you say on oneness and in marriage. And I pray your strength in them tonight, Lord God. I know you know their alabaster box. I know you know what they've been through and what they're going through even as we speak tonight. I'm praying, Lord God, for peace in their life. I'm praying, Lord God, for understanding in their hearts. I'm praying in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that you will allow their marriage to be the best marriage on this side of heaven. And we know, Lord God, that what you've put together, we declare and decree that no man or no woman will take under. And we come standing strong and standing bold on your word, thanking you, Lord God, that we know that no weapon that's trying to form against these powerful, God-fearing couples, it shall nor will prosper. And then I know, Lord God, that you thought so much of of us, that you blessed us with powerful, God-fearing young boys and girls, as we call our children. We never take it for granted, but we say thank you, Lord God, for such a beautiful and wonderful gift. We thank you from the youngest of our children to the oldest, to our adult children. We pray for them tonight, Lord God. We pray for their protection in all of their goings and comings. And we thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that you will give us to impart into their lives. We know that we too can make a difference in our children's life. And I thank you, Lord God, that our children will continue to move forward in the way in which, Father, you have ordained them, because we've bringing them up in the way in which they should go. And then, Lord God, I thank you that when they come against obstacles and challenges, even in their lives, that they would recognize, Father God, there's nothing impossible for you to bring them through. I come thanking you tonight, Lord God, that our children recognize and they understand that they can do all things through you, Christ Jesus, that strengthens them. As they continue to move forward in their education, I pray, Lord God, that you will allow their minds to be like sponges and their brains to be like sponges, to be able to absorb everything, Father, that's good and perfect in your eyes, to be brought in. And allow them to use it, Father, so that at the appropriate time, you will allow them to regurgitate it, whether it is to write down on paper what they've learned over a period of time, or whether you want to use them in a mighty way, Lord God, to be able to go and be ambassadors unto you as well and speak life back into these young men and women and these children that are out here in this world that may be lost. I come tonight just thanking you for the power that you've blessed our children with. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would continue to be with, Father God, each and every one of us, that we can be the best individuals on this side of heaven. And then, Lord God, I know that there's so many that are on our line tonight that desired, Father, to be married, desire to be in oneness with that perfect soulmate that you blessed them with. And I'm coming just standing in agreement with them, Lord God, that you have someone so special for them that you're taking your time putting them together. And I just thank you, Lord, that when you bring that powerful God-fearing man to them, Lord God, that the woman will understand that that is the man that you have set aside for them. And through your discernment, Lord God, I thank you that they will receive and be able to understand that what you have for them is for them. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that as you join them together as husband and wife, that they will be able to stand bold and stand tall on your word, knowing what you have for them is for them, Lord God. And I thank you tonight as we continue, Father God, to be so grateful and thankful for the things that you're doing in each and every one of our lives. I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to bless the union that you put together for Jesse and I so that we will be able to stand bold and stand strong and stand tall and be able to recognize, Father God, our role here on earth for such a time as this, to go back and minister to others that are in need, Father, of a touch from you. I thank you for the willingness that you have given us in our spirit and in our hearts to be able to share with those that are standing in need tonight. And Lord God, as we continue to move through this wonderful life, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would give us all an understanding heart, how we too can make a difference in this world. I pray tonight as Jesse prepares to share a word in season, that Father, it will be able to go out, Father, and be so much of an advantage to all of these marriages to have a jump start, to be able to do what they're supposed to do, to be the best marriages on this side of heaven. And I declare and I decree in the name of Jesus that they would receive it in their hearts tonight, that they not only keep it there but will share it with others that may not have had an opportunity to get on the call. And I pray, Lord God, that as they share it, you will bring it back to their recall so that they don't miss any of the special points that have been pointed out on this evening. I thank you for the word of God, and I thank you, Lord God, that we will use it as we continue to journey through this life, for we know we must study to show ourselves approved. I love you so much, Lord God, and I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful for all that you have done and all that you continue to do in all of our lives. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray this prayer, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Let the church say amen. And I just thank God this morning. I'm going to start us out this evening. And as I go through just a couple things before Brother Jesse comes on, I'm just thanking God tonight for oneness in your lives. And we all can have oneness. And a lot of times, a lot of individuals that we speak to, they say, well, how can we really get to this true oneness? I just don't know if it's even available, if it's even possible. You know, anything is possible if you just believe. And I encourage each and every one of you tonight to just take a hold of the word of God. And especially go back down memory lane and look back down on Ephesians chapter 5. Read the whole chapter again. There's so much powerful word for both the husband and the wives in Ephesians chapter 5. And I encourage you to do just that. We will touch on a few of those scriptures on this evening, but I encourage you in your quiet moment, in the moments that you have ahead of you, I encourage you to do it. I just thank God that as we embark on loving your wife as you love your own body, husbands. And there's so many scriptures that would support that. There's so many things that we know God has put in place for us to recognize and understand what it means. Think about it. Even in Ephesians 5:28-32, it talks about in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So if you love yourself, we know that you're not going to do anything but great things. We know that you're going to continue to respect and honor your body. So we know that if God is telling you to whatever you do for your body, to do as your wife's body, as though it was your wife. And so we're encouraging you tonight to make sure you do your part to go out and show love towards your wife. And when God speaks about especially marriages. That wonderful four-letter word comes up every time. That word we call L-O-V-E. It's all about love. We have to love one another. And it goes on to say, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Think about it, husbands. Think about it. If you are going to nourish your own body, if you are going to cherish your own body, think how wonderful your marriage is if you think in those same terms for your spouse, for your wife. And then it goes on to say, just as Christ does the church. We know how much Christ loved the church. He gave his own life for the church. He sacrificed so much on the cross for you and I. Because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. He didn't say hold fast to anything out in the streets. He didn't say hold fast to your J-O-B. He didn't say hold fast to your friends. He didn't say hold fast to any sport that you might like, whether it's football, basketball, whether it's baseball, whether it's golf. He didn't say hold on fast to that. He said that you would hold on to your wife. He said hold on fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There it is. One flesh, oneness. You can become one in each other, but it's hard work. Too much is giving, much is required. If you give nothing of yourself, trust me, you won't get anything out of it. And I just thank God tonight that we all understand as we go through husbands loving your wives as your own body. Think about it. When God tells us that we are that the husbands are the head, if we just even think about our own bodies, if the husband is the head of our bodies, meaning wives, we are to submit. We are to love our husbands in that manner. And husbands, without the head that you have given the wives to go with your body, you don't have oneness. You need the head and the body in order to make up yourself. And so we know that without one or the other, it's impossible for you to have oneness. And so you need each part to be able to survive and have the success in your marriage that God desires for you to have. And so I'm just so grateful and so thankful tonight that we recognize and that we understand where we are in our roles, because we all can have a different role in our marriages and still be successful. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be individuals in as we bring different parts to the body of oneness, but he wants us to respect and love and understand that part. We don't want to disrespect our arm that's on our body, do we? Because we need our arm to help us do a lot of things as we function from day to day. If we disrespect our legs and we jump off of a building and we break our legs, it's not going to be as easy for us to get around. Each body part has to be truly respected. And based on that, I say to you, husbands, I say to you, wives, give the utmost respect one to another. I'm so grateful and thankful even for 1 Timothy as we think about. Even in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires a position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, a good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. These are the things that you want to do as a man of God, as a husband. You want to do everything within your power to serve God in a mighty way. By serving God in a mighty way, you're loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And so you're doing everything in your power to know what it is that God has for you. But wives, I don't want you to be misled by no means. As much as we're talking about husbands and what you're supposed to do, we also recognize that wives, you are to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of you. We have to understand that word submission, so many people take out of context. And we got to recognize the respect that it is and how we are to respect our husbands and we are to submit to them. There's only one head in every household, and that head is our husband. But we got to recognize the head of our household is Christ, and the head of Christ is our Lord. I thank God tonight that we have all of this in order so that we can move forward and be able to be successful in everything we do. And I thank God that even as husbands are to love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Think about it, that he must cleanse her with the washing of water by the word of God, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And I thank God tonight. I thank him so much that we will gain a better understanding of what this means as we go into this word, as we truly dissect it tonight. I was just given a small introduction as to what you're about to experience. I say to you, hold on, put your seatbelt on, especially men of God. God has something in store for you tonight. He has a word in season, and he is ready for you to receive. And I say to you, through the grace of God, go forth and receive what God has for you. What God is presenting before you right now, keep your eye on the plow. Know what God has for you is for you. You're not here by coincidence. You're not here by accident, but you are here for a divine purpose, and that is to hear a word in season that will make a difference in each and every one of your lives. And I thank God for the opportunity he gave me to share this opening with you as we began to dissect this word on husbands, what it means for you to love your wives as your own bodies. God bless you.
We'll be right back right after this short pause for some lemonade and iced tea. I need one right now after that beautiful introduction. We'll be right back.
Places in my life and time, I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad rhymes, I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching, but we're alone now. And I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Through me, 'cause we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. You taught me precious secrets of a true love, holding nothing came out in front when I was hiding. Now I'm so much better, and if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in there hiding.
Introduction. I thank my queen this evening as we embark upon a continuation of what we started last week. I mean, when you think of that particular scripture where we are encouraged to make sure we have the ability to do those things that are necessary in our lives, when we are asked to do those things that may seem unreasonable. But when we think about it, most of the times when we're asked to do something that may seem unreasonable, in reality, we are doing those things that allow us to be most effective as it relates to what God wants from us. It probably is similar to the term that we hear often that we really don't use a lot, but that term oxymoron, where it seems as though something is said, but it seems like it's not possible for them to go together. And that's why it's called oxymoron. And so when we think of that scripture saying that men love your wives as you love your own body, oftentimes that seems like an oxymoron. I mean, because you would say, why would we be encouraged to love our wives as we love our own bodies? And I think we are admonished and we are encouraged to do that because oftentimes the evidence that is around us would indicate that we really don't have an appreciation or a clear understanding of what that means. See, first of all, when we think about just from a physical perspective. Most of the experts that you read and research about will tell us that most of us are not happy with our bodies from a physical perspective. We're not happy. I mean, it's amazing when you begin to look at the number of people, and if we would do an unscientific survey and we would ask people, we would find that most people would say, I'm unhappy with something. But see, if we would continue that dialogue and ask those same people, well, are you willing to make an investment in correcting that which you may not like? We would find that most of the time for men, we may hold a position that if I corrected something that I didn't like, would I be guilty of being vain? Would I be guilty of attempting to change something about me? Because it may be a validation that there is something about myself I do not like. Yet I believe that gives us an insight into the complexities and into the challenges we have in learning how to love ourselves. Because if we can't love ourselves, I believe it becomes more difficult for us to learn how to love our wives. All around us, we see the evidence, all of the images and everything that we see that comes at us in forms of visible media continues to come at us with models and images of men and women who may be walking around with the types of physical bodies that we would say, wow, what did they do to maybe come into the possession of that? Some say that, well, that must have been just natural. They were born that way. When, in fact, when we began to do research, we may come to find out that, no, it was only after a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of willingness to deny thyself in the present in order that they might be able to manifest right now. So what am I saying? How does that relate to what we want to talk about? It relates totally. Until we're able to see that God gave us this body in order that we might carry out the purpose he ordained for our lives. He knew us. He understood us. He ordained us. He called us from our mother's womb. And since he called us and since he had a plan for us, whatever that may be necessary in order for us to carry out that plan, we should then be willing to invest whatever necessary time, whatever necessary energy, even whatever necessary money that would be required to put ourselves in the best position to execute that plan. See, some of us may have been born too dark, too light, too thin, too big, too this, too that, or whatever. And again, we know from the statistics that most of what happens to us after we reach a certain age is self-induced. We either find ourselves where because of our discipline, we can look and say, I'm happy. Or because of our lack of discipline, we can look and say, I'm not happy. And see, here's the dichotomy. There's some of the things that seem to be at total opposite extremes. On one hand, we will allow ourselves to be led by the lust of the flesh for satisfying our bodies in the immediate via the consumption of food, maybe, the consumption of some kind of fluid, the consumption of some kind of substances that may bring us temporarily satisfaction, that temporarily we may enjoy imbibing in whatever our favorite pastime may be. And we seem to have some kind of level of satisfaction. But over the process of time, we find ourselves simply then embracing a doctrine of demons whose plan is to slowly steal, kill, and destroy. And when we finally wake up, oftentimes we discover, wow, I've been on a slow path to destruction. And that slow path of destruction, which I thought was something that I was enjoying doing, all it was validating was that I was not loving my body as I should. Because the word tells us, don't we know, that our body, since we have been saved, and since now the Holy Spirit has come to indwell this particular temple, that we house the holy temple of God. And see, we have to remember always, always, that we are in great spiritual warfare. And so those things that appear as they are not what they may appear to be. The word tells us that the enemy can appear as an angel of light, and that things appear to be so well that even though we may be engaging in activities that seem to satisfy the flesh in our bodies, it's really contrary to the will of God. And so because of that, when we wanted to imbibe in those activities, we wanted to do those things, and we thought we were doing those things because that's what we thought we loved to do, in effect, it was destroying our bodies, and it was bringing enmity between ourselves and our spouse. These things could be anything, as Tammy mentioned, from sports to work, activities, friends, families, all kinds of distractions that we would even hold up and say, I should be able to do whatever I want to do, and you should be able to understand it. And while that may be an element of truth in all of that, the fact of the matter is, if we are admonished to love our wives as we love our own bodies, what would be the evidence that we would have that we love our own bodies? It's always interesting when you hear sometimes us men talk. When we kid or joke about, I went and I received a got a haircut that was really, really nice. Or it's sometimes interesting to see how men, and I know, and I won't call any name, I know that there have been several men that I was the first person that was able to get them to go and get a pedicure or a manicure. Because times before, they had it in their minds that if you went and got something like a pedicure or manicure, something had to be wrong. You know, so often we have this homophobia thing, that it must be something wrong if you want to take care of your feet or if you want to take care of your hands. You can have hangnails and ingrown toenails and all kind of things, funguses all growing through your feet. Feet look like they about to fall off or blow up or whatever. But, oh, I'm not going in there and putting my feet in that water and let the folks mess with my feet or my toes to go. Somebody might see me. Well, see, we have to grow up and understand that because of that, we may be walking around have some simple as an ingrown toenail that we don't take care of that could become infected, that could all of a sudden put something into our system that, lo and behold, all of a sudden we find ourselves we got to get a toe cut off. We got to get a foot cut off. We got to do something because we didn't take time to go and take care of it when we could have taken care of it. Now, that may seem like an extreme, but it's really not. Because, see, for whatever reason, we especially, when I say we, especially those of us who have been brought up in Black America, we're all Americans, but just been brought up more in that particular persuasion. We have this thing somewhat about why we just certain things we don't want to do because certain things we think would make us unmanly. Yet we can go and sit down, consume 6,000 calories at a sitting, go and fall asleep, and we feel we've had a great time, that we have just satisfied ourselves. When in fact, we're beginning to learn and understand again, you just validated that you don't love your body. You just validated that you don't mind bringing pain to yourself because you overindulged in something that could cause you pain down the road. When we set out tonight's lesson, we included some things in tonight's lesson as a way to show that on the macro level, that it's hard-pressed for America, you know, a nation where they say 80-some percent of people when asked say they believe in God and they would consider themselves Christians. And in a nation like that, you would have to ask yourself, how is it then that the evidence that we will be able to read evidence from the Center for Disease Control that's even located right here in Georgia, in Atlanta, that you'd be able to see evidence to say, how do you validate that you truly do love your body? When you begin to look at the percentage of where the highest levels of obesity and diabetes are, I was really, really taken back. Because the same area where the highest rate of obesity and diabetes exists in this nation is the exact same area where the highest concentration of African Americans live. I mean, the correlations are mind-blowing. You know, you look at that and you just say, what is it? How could it be that we would have this higher percentage of obesity and diabetes? I mean, it's just a magic. When you look at that of adults age 20 and over, more than 35% would be classified as obese. My brothers and my sisters, that's an issue. Because I submit that I cannot see where that kind of reality is a level of validation that we love our bodies, that we love ourselves, that we would allow ourselves to continue to be involved in activities that bring upon us all of these associated challenges that did make it more difficult for us to physically conduct and deploy the responsibilities we did have as husbands and or as wives. See, when we bring this thing down to the mundane level, when we bring this thing down to the real level and begin to see how we self-induce some of the limitations that come into our life, when we began to look at the things that we do that are initiated by us alone, and we began to see the challenges that began to take place in relationships because we don't have the evidence that we love our bodies. The evidence is not there. If we had the evidence, we would not have over 35% classified as obese. We would not have that many who are just overweight. It wouldn't happen. And we have to be real about this thing. We got to get to the point to where we begin to address these situations, where we begin to deploy and employ some kind of self-control. Is that part of walking in the fruit of the Spirit? Self-control? It wouldn't self-control be saying, I'm going to deny myself the ingestion of all of these calories, regardless of how good this food might taste, because when I get to be age 65 or 70 or 75, I want to have a high quality of life. And see, when you look at then, according to the CDC, what we die of, those things that take us out of here, the number one thing is heart disease. And, of course, part of that heart disease is initiated by the fact that we're putting too much pressure, we're putting too much strain, we're putting too much stress on that major organ to take care of or to carry all of this excess body that we have. And that includes myself. We have too much that we are asking that major organ to do. Now, so what happens? When we begin to get into these situations, what begins to take place? We began to rely on the pharmaceutical industry. We began to rely on synthetic medicine. And as we began to rely on synthetic medicine to take care of these needs, something else begins to happen. There's a thing that's called side effects. So all of a sudden we go to a doctor and the doctor says, oh, you got high blood pressure, you have hypertension. We begin to get into agreement with the doctor. Oh, you got this, oh, you got that, oh, what this, or whatever it may be. So now all of a sudden we get into, even unwittingly, we get into a situation now where we got to go and take medication to help us put in check this hypertension or this high blood pressure, or our cholesterol gets out of whack. And so now we got to take this because of the cholesterol. And as we begin to take these things, the changes that must take place in the body to get those levels moderated also begins to affect some of the other things in our bodies. All of a sudden, we may find ourselves that we are men, wow, I'm not as energetic. All of a sudden, we may find ourselves, you know, I'm not as strong. I'm not as muscular. I'm not as whatever. As a matter of fact, all of a sudden, it begins to appear that our libido, our desire for sexual activity and sexual relationship began to diminish. Can we be adults tonight? Can we be real about this subject matter? These things begin to happen. I don't want to even get into the conspiracy theories that would say that there's something being put in the food that accounts for the sperm rate of men being dropping all over this country and all over this world. I don't even want to get into that conspiracy. But suffice it to say that for whatever reason, when you begin to take all of these other medications, that one of the side effects for men is that their libido, their ability to maintain rigidity in their erection begins to diminish. Can we be adults? And see, what we got to understand, all of this, many of these things, we need to talk about. We need to be mature about. We need to get an understanding in. Because, see, us men, first of all, we don't do a good job of talking to each other. We walk around too much with a facade. We walk around too much not wanting anybody to know, thinking that if I ask somebody about something, am I giving them enough information, or am I saying something to them where all of a sudden they're going to think I may have a problem? That's another lie of the devil. It keeps us walking around where the word my people are destroyed due to lack of knowledge. Well, there may be knowledge around for us to embrace, for us to understand, which could help us get through, yet we're tripping on the fact, I don't want nobody to know about my business. I don't want nobody to know that my hormonal levels may be low. They may be outside the range. They may be in the low. I don't want nobody to know that, because then they may think that I'm not able to do this or that or whatever. We got to grow up. Because what happens when all of that is taking place, we're not loving our bodies. Because when we are afraid to go and seek, and how many men, think about it, that you know, they will tell you, I don't want to go to no doctor. I don't trust doctors. They'll tell you all kind of reasons, because the enemy has whispered in their ears all of their lives, all of these reasons. I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to know what's going on. Everything's fine. Oh, God is healing me. He's taking care of me. Yeah, God, I want to heal you. But he also called Luke, who was a physician. That should give all of us an indication we ought to find out what's going on in our bodies so that we'll be able to do warfare, that we'll be able to do the things necessary to keep these temples at the optimum operating levels. But if we don't know what's going on inside them, how are we going to keep them at the optimum operating levels? It cannot happen. So the enemy has sold us the strategy that would say, since we don't know what's going on, how can we say we love our bodies? And if we don't love our bodies, how can we fulfill that scripture that so we will love our spouses as we love our own bodies? If you love somebody, if you love something, you find out everything you can about them. When you started dating your wife, if you was playing in a sport before, if you was in an activity, if you was a singer, if you was an actor, if you was a mechanic, don't care what it was, you found out everything you could about that particular activity because you fell in love with the pursuit of that activity. And everything you could find out about it, you invested time and you invested money. And here we began to move into the middle part of our lives, the second third or the third third. And for whatever reason, we come to a point to where we think it's not cool for me to learn as much as I can about what God has given me. It's not cool for me to be willing to invest money in maintaining what God has given me. That's the last streak from the devil. See, because when we begin to look at the body, when God created man, it's so powerful. That's why we got to see how it all comes back to what Tammy was talking about, that oneness peace. He said, you know, I'm going to make sure that man can be complemented. And so I'm going to take woman out of man, from the womb of man, and I'm going to call her woman. And so they would come together. And the enemy right then, from that moment on, as we see even recorded in Genesis 3, and we all know what happened back in the garden. We're not going to go through that. From that moment on, the enemy was doing everything he could to defeat and to dysfunction God's word and what God ordained from the beginning, ever since that time. And see, where we missed it as men, even when we have studied through the Old Testament, men of renown, men that love God, men that walk with God, men that understood God, very few of them had the self-control to be able to understand the value and the power of monogamy. Very few, if any. As we said last week, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody in the Old Testament that you could hold up as a model based on what we know. The closest probably would be Joseph, based on at least what's in the Bible. We don't know his entire life, but there are not many that you could lift up that would be on the honor roll and the hall of fame of God that would say, here's a man that you could hold up as a model to say, this is how you do it. You'd be hard-pressed. You'll probably find more in the 21st century or the 20th century that you could say, wow, there's an example of what it means to walk like a man of God, as a man that will love his body so that he will be able to love his wife the same way, because your wife came from your body. So see, if you understand that we are all one, you would understand why when I don't take care of my body, I'm not taking care of that which my wife needs. Because see, my wife needs me in many different ways. She needs me spiritually. She needs me mentally. She needs me financially. She needs me socially. She needs me emotionally. But guess what? She also needs me physically. She needs me because when you talked about that cleaving again, she needs to know and understand, and she needs to be satisfied that way. And women, you need to know and understand as well, your husband needs to be satisfied that way. Now, let me just take a sidebar for a moment because it's important. And even though we're having this conversation, it doesn't mean that, women, you want to just take a carte blanche approach and begin to come on your husband about, you know, you think he's got an extra 20 pounds or 5 pounds or 10 pounds or 15 pounds or 50. It doesn't matter. Because, see, the words still say, let nothing come out of your mouth unless it's going to be edifying to the hearer. But I'm here to tell you, I know that we could make this thing a lot better, even if the women, who your one of your key jobs, you're supposed to be the cheerleader to your husband. That if you would humble yourself and find a way to speak to your husband in the right manner and encourage him to do those things that would allow him to improve his body, to improve those things that would be appealing to you, then you're going to have better results. I'll digress and tell you some personal things. When I grew up, all of my life, I was upset when I grew up in Mississippi because there was a dentist there, and one time they pulled the tooth. I had a toothache and went, and of course I had to go. You know, it was a white dentist, so when they dealt with us in those days, we had a, you know, they didn't go in there. You didn't get no filling or whatever. You had a toothache, they just snatched it out. Now I remember when I went to Detroit and went to the dentist, and the dentist was saying, "Well, you got all your other teeth. Why they pull this tooth? It was a permanent tooth." That's what gets wild. The guy pulled a permanent tooth, and I found him at the time 12 years old, something like that. So the dentist was upset. And so I always had to have a tooth. So I remember when I couldn't afford to get it done, that finally was able to have them get for one tooth a little partial. And I used to hate it, like, oh, my goodness. So in the night, you got to took that thing out. You got to, you know, clean it. I hated it. And I remember finally, it was probably over 25 years ago when implants first came out. I said, man, I got to go and get me an implant because I'm tired of dealing with this little thing. And I went and got that implant, and I mean, it, like, my world changed because I had to have surgery, put in these titanium spikes and all of this stuff, fused to the bone. Now, boom, you got a tooth in there, you have to take it out at night, all of this kind of stuff. And that began the process, I didn't even know it at the time, of me understanding you cannot be afraid to save money or do what's necessary if you know that what God has given you has been abused and it can be improved. And I thank God that as the years went by, that every time I would have a need in that area, I wouldn't hesitate to save the money, put the money aside or whatever to make sure it could be done. So I just thank God and that he showed me that you can't be afraid to invest in yourself. And so I thank God that also my queen understands you can't be afraid to invest in yourself. And I'm a person, I get another one. I grind my teeth at night. Any of y'all do that? So much stress or whatever, you grind your teeth. And I had ground my teeth so much at night that I went to the dentist. He said, oh, my goodness, you must be a grinder. You must really. I said, I guess I do. And so although everything was fine, I decided, you know what? I'm just going to get all of those teeth, the four or five that I've been grinding like that. What can I do? He said, oh, you can put a cap on them. Oh, you can. You can put a cap on them. And I thank God again. I made the decision. I did it. See, I learned that when you see the difference a lot of times in somebody, in some people, it's simply because one person may have made the decision that instead of me going to do this, spending money doing this, I'm going to save the money because I'm going to invest it in myself. I'm going to invest it in being the best that I could be. I'm going to invest it in being the best steward I could be based on what God made available to me. So that's all about taking care of your body, taking care of that temple that God has given all of us. Now, when we get ready to take this break, I want to request from you tonight, if you have real life situations, when you have realized yourself the same kind of reality, if you are a husband or a wife, that you cannot be afraid, you can't shortchange yourself. We joke a lot of time about women, that they go to the beauty shop and they spend all day and they spend X amount of money or whatever, but they're doing what they can to adorn and to beautify themselves, we all hope, for their husbands. And I'm sure oftentimes they love it when we go. I know my wife does, and I be, my wig get all out of shape. She come down on me, you need to go see, you know, Master Barber Eric. I be like, look, baby, I'm going to meet some dreads or whatever. You need to leave me alone. I mean, of course, I be kidding, but she be serious. No, you need to go and get a haircut because your head is looking wild. Because, you know, you're not young as you used to be, and your hair don't grow the same way. Some of it grow faster than the other. And when you don't keep it groomed, you look crazy. Yeah, that's how she talks to me. Can you believe that? She talks to me like that. I'm like, yeah, you look crazy. But I thank God I don't get upset. I just go ahead and laugh, and I wait for another week or two before I go. And then I finally go. And then when I go and I come back, then she make it worth my while for going to get the haircut by the Master Bob. But I'm saying all of us must be committed to keeping together what God has done. And I'm going to come back, and we're going to deal with this pharmaceutical piece when we come back in a moment. But when we come back to really, we want to hear from you. What about you? Have you gotten that revelation that you got to keep this thing together? I know I'm not going to call names. I've seen a couple of people we know that made that decision, male and female, that said, you know, I'm going to change my body type. I'm going to change my lifestyle. I'm going to do something different. And I can tell you, it was just powerful to see the changes they made in their lives. And I know it doesn't matter if we're 30, if we're 40, if we're 50, if we're 60, even 70. If we want to make a change, we can make a change. It all depends if we want to be committed, if we want to do what we need to do. God can sustain us as we make the change. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. telling each other, make me yours. I want to read this, and again, you want to make a comment, hit one on your phone, and we will recognize you. But there was an article written just this month, or no, a couple of years back, I think they're back. It was in October, though, from the Harvard Letter, which was researching the link between or the connection between high blood pressure and a healthy sex life. And one of the biggest problems with high blood pressure is that many people who have it don't even feel it. So sometimes, even though you may not be on medication, you can have a negative or adverse effect with high blood pressure because it interferes with the circulatory patterns in the body. And it can damage the inner linings of the arteries, which may decrease blood flow to the penis and to the vagina areas. Again, we are adults. And so one of the problems attributed to this high blood pressure or drug therapy could include impotence, you know, ejaculation problems, painful and uncomfortable intercourse, and also a difficulty in having orgasms for women. And most of all, the most dangerous effect is simply that the reduction of sexual desire by both men and women. And so these are real issues, and these are issues that as we mature, that we want to begin to deal with as mature Christian adults, and we can. And so we'd like to hear from you as well. I mean, that because all about the success of this kind of dialogue is being open and transparent. I can tell you that as we learn more about ourselves, we also can begin to see the power of prayer. We can begin to see the power of God's favor in your life. And I can remember even a few months back, I went myself to the doctor because now I go and I get my blood checked a couple, three times, four times a year sometimes. And matter of fact, in the last month, I've had it checked twice because I went the last time and my PSA levels were high. They were over the range. And because they were over the range, I decided to go in and get it checked out again. And through prayer and just trusting God and then taking some natural supplementation, I went back and it was down almost in half. And so there are things that we can do, but we got to know how to fight the battle. And one way we got to fight the battle, we got to get the data. So we're going to open up our lines, 732-1994. Your mic is open.
Well, good evening, Brother Storr.
What's going on? How you doing, my sister?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the topic, and I just wanted to make a couple of comments. You know, I think it's definitely a generational curse about the fear of doctors and not trusting doctors. I knew a gentleman who didn't go to the doctor after he got out of the military for close to about 25 years, and by the time he went, his body was ravaged with cancer. And he bragged for years about how he never had to go to the doctor. And when he finally went, you know, within 2 years, he was gone.
Mm.
So when you think about that, we do have to get past that. But and also in this lifestyle where we see our kids growing up, when we went out to play, we went out and played. You know, you may have had a heavier kid in your group, but heavy when we were younger and heavy today aren't even close in body composition. And so when you look at kids today and you can't figure out what age they are based on the size they are. And I know some of it's hormonal, what's being put in the food, but a lot of it is parents are not getting out there with their children to be active. They're not active themselves. And so you started a gene pool that's already unhealthy from the beginning. And so your children see that it's okay to be overweight because they see you overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no example for them to follow. Just like you want your children not to lie, not to steal, you want your children to be healthy. So I'm glad that there's more focus being put on being healthy and getting back to correct portion sizes and getting back to bringing our own food from this land instead of globally. I think a lot of the globalization food has taken away from farming the land and making sure the nutrients that our bodies are used to are what we have approved that's, you know, good. So I'm encouraged that you're talking about this truthfully. And then, you know, everyone wants to see someone that's appealing to the eye. You know, we, of course, we love our spouses regardless, but you want them to be the best they can be, and definitely for longevity. Definitely for longevity. So I agree with you that we've got to do better. We've just got to do better.
Well, amen, and I want to give you a shout-out because you are a living example of someone that made that quality decision to say, you know what, I'm going to change my lifestyle, and you didn't, like you say, you didn't go on a diet. You just changed your lifestyle and changed your eating patterns, and you have had marvelous, marvelous results, and I applaud you for those results. And so I know it encourages me to know that it is all possible, because when we make that quality decision, we just learn that we want to be around for a minute. I want to be around to see my 9-year-old, you know, be married and have children. And in order for me to do so, I got to take care of myself. I got to take care of this body. And so I praise God for your comments. And Wendy, you need to be thinking about writing that book, you know, for how to show them women over. Oh, I don't want to tell your age. That's right. How to tell those more mature
51.
Women.
I'm not ashamed of my age. God gave me these years. I take every last one of them down to the second.
There you go. Well, how to show women over 50 how good they can look then? Well, we praise God. You need to go on and write that book then. You know, you can have a bestseller there. I'm serious because
I got to get
an app
for that.
Get an app. All right. Well, you go ahead and do that. Well, God bless you. Amen.
God bless you too. Amen.
All right, my brothers and sisters. You can call in. That was our sister, Shelly Beavers. And, I mean, I tell you what, you wouldn't think she was 51 if you had an opportunity to see her. She's really, really made a decision, and the results are outstanding. So it's all about, for us men especially, taking care of this temple, taking care of what God has made available to us. And, you know, there are just so many scriptures that deal with the concept of body. You know, when you look in the Word of God and you begin to look at some of the scripture references that one could use when you want to look up the concept of body, more than 425 references in the New International Reader's Version. And again, that first one coming from Genesis where the man said, her bones come from my bones, her body from my body. She will be named woman because she was taken out of a man. I mean, when we look at that concept of body, and we know how the body of man began to come to death a lot relatively sooner, you know, after things took place in the garden. But I believe today we still are not here long enough that we go prematurely. And so I even like this scripture in Malachi, in second chapter Malachi, the 15th verse, where it says, hasn't he made the two of you one, and both of you belong to him in body and spirit? And why has he made you one? Because he was looking for godly children. So guard yourself in your spirit. Don't break your promise to the wife you married when you were young. And so at the end of the day, I feel that I'm young, that Moses was 120, but I've just lived about half of my life. And so part of that is making sure that my thought process is correct, that I do everything I can to take care of this temple. And it's like a pastor used to say, you know, about even with women with wearing makeup, when they used to say, well, should women, wear makeup? And the pastor said, well, if the barn needs painting, don't you paint it? I mean, and so the same thing for us. If there's something we can do to make ourselves more attractive, more desirable by our spouses, then that's what we should be about. We should be looking at every opportunity to do so. And when you think about it again, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 4, where the wife's body does not belong only to her. it also belongs to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong only to him. It also belongs to his wife. So these are things that we as believers should really begin to get our mind around. We should begin to come to understanding of why, when we may have been out there prior to BC, in that BC era, we missed a lot of things because we allowed our bodies to be taken advantage of by the enemy. We allowed relationships to take place with the enemy that really they never should have happened. I mean, one of the most profound studies that you can do is on the concept of how the body even oftentimes look at the concept of prostitution and how we allow our bodies to be prostituted. And a lot of that, you know, when you look at what come out of that whole feminist movement, the movement that convinced women that they could go and they could be just as promiscuous as men, and the end result of that, and how then the whole family structure began to break down. Men already were not honoring their body, but then when you have women out involved in the same kind of activity, we begin to see the end result of what God talked about again in that Genesis 3:15. So again, if you want to make a comment, you got a comment, just hit 1 on your phone. I'll see your hand will go up and we'll bring you on. Otherwise, we'll continue to chat. We're chatting tonight about the value of a man really honoring his body. And as he honors his body, it's also an opportunity for him to learn how to love his wife. But if a man, and I'm just picking on the men, I'll just pick on the men for a minute. If we don't learn, if we don't know how to honor our bodies, if we don't know how to take care of our bodies, then it is a reflection. It is an indictment that maybe we don't really know how to love our wives. Because we will know and understand that in order for us to be productive, we got to take care of this temple. In order for us to be able to do the things that we were ordained, that we were created to do, we've got to take care of this temple. And so tonight, brothers, I want to encourage you that we do everything we can to keep these temples together. Think about it. When we think about the temple that David was told he couldn't build, but his son came along and built it, Solomon. And you begin to listen and read about all of the value, all of the time and investment that went into that temple to make sure it was one of the most beautiful edifices that the world had ever seen. Now think about it. We are created in the image of God. If I'm created in the image of God, is there anything within reason that I should not be attempting to keep intact, that I should not be concerned about what I'm ingesting into or allowing in this temple? When we think about the Word of God, it gives us all of the illustrations, if it's about the priest's sons, you know, Eli's sons that were involved even in sexual activity in the temple and how it was such an abomination. But the same would hold true for us, that we were out engaging in all kinds of sexual activity, and we were still permitting oneness to occur in our members by engaging in sexual activities, then we'd be doing the same thing. We are violating our temples. We're violating what God made holy, what he said, keep this consecrated. So yeah, there are so many parallels, correlations, even metaphorically, if you wanted to look at some of the parallels, it's just mind-boggling. And so just like monogamy, having a monogamous relationship, when we say we believe in one God, well, you know, we should have then believing in the spouse we're with. And we believe this is what God has allowed me to come together with. And because of that, I'm going to love my body by doing everything I can to make this body, which houses the Holy Spirit, as advantageous, as desirable as I can do. Whatever is, and that means if I've got to get, make sure that I get my teeth fixed, if I got to get my hair fixed, if I got to get whatever fix that I need to do within reason, I'm going to do those things. Because, see, when we look again at the statistics, nobody is saying, and we compare those statistics with 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, it's undeniable. Is that we have allowed ourselves to be put into a rut, to be put into a situation to where we cause harm and we cause issues for ourselves. I mean, the brothers were just joking this morning when we were having prayer time, and they were saying that, yeah, the way we may have made love years ago may be different now, not because maybe we wanted it to be different, but because there is more of us, or more of both of us. And if there's more of both of us, it may cause the need to have flexibility and the need to have creativity to have the same kind of results. And we're mature adults, and I think we understand what I'm saying. So we all owe it to ourselves and to our spouses to be the best we can be. We're going to continue this particular conversation in weeks to come, because there is tremendous revelation that we want to share about why we must get this concept, and we must understand Ephesians 5:28. We must understand why it's important, why it was said that men love your spouse as you love your own body. And we will begin to understand how the enemy has unleashed a strategy, a demonic strategy, to keep us from achieving that basic end result. That as long as the enemy can keep us out of kilter, can keep us from understanding cognitive the value of accomplishing that peace, he will always keep us off God. He will always have us in a situation to where the distrust, the loyalty, the insecurity, all of those things that cause men to be weak will manifest themselves. Because those are the things that cause us to be weaker, things that many times women may never even understand, because most men have lived a life that's not based in reality, a life that's based on what they may think of or conceive in their own mind about how women are. And because of that, we've spoken on this in the past, that's why we live in a world so filled with misogynistic realities based on those perspectives and based on those things that men in their minds have developed. And we know this is true because when we read the Word of God, even the Word of God itself, it clearly defines a pattern of men who have failed to appreciate God's plan and how he ordained it to be from the beginning. Every now and then we'll read in the Word of God and it'll become very clear that something has taken place that God did not like. And when God did not like it, you will begin to see, because he would speak. And when he would speak, people would begin to see and understand, oh, I didn't really know you meant it like that. And God said, what? And see, oftentimes it was correct, because many of the people never had a chance to really understand, to really hear, to really feel what God really wanted them to understand. And that's why when you begin to look into the Bible and you begin to say, I'm going to do a study on the body, I'm going to do a study on sex, I'm going to do a study on homosexuality, I'm going to do a study on all of these things. And we're going to get into some of these things, because I think we're in a time where the time is right, where we need to know and understand that some of the game that we thought we used to play and some of the things that we used to do, that we need to begin to understand just how much those things that we were doing, the activities that we got involved in, just how damaging those situations really were. Now, thank God, there's no condemnation. Thank God that now we have been recreated, born again, but we need to know and understand, you know, the impact that had. And that impact is what makes it very difficult today for many brothers and many sisters to come together and experience oneness. But see, that's the great mystery. We can begin to understand what this oneness thing is all about. The mystery becomes very clear. Because just like the word would tell us and remind us, see, we got to know and understand, we still all are from one body. And that if woman then was taken from man, right, you still are one. Like Jesus himself said, I and my Father are one. And he said that, you know, if you believe in me and you do what I do and do what I say because I'm going to do and say what the Father says, then we're all one together. Oneness is a powerful, powerful reality. The challenge we have that we've had from the beginning is that the enemy does not want to see us walk in that oneness, because when we walk in oneness, we did have a power that's far greater than anything we could ever imagine, hope for, dream, believe, conceive. It's beyond all of our cognitive capability. Father, I pray tonight that something was said as we begin this journey of looking into this one scripture, this Ephesians 5:28, deeper and deeper and deeper, that we will begin to understand the true value and true power and why it is so important for us to understand why we must love our bodies so that we are able to love our wives more effectively. And that our wives will know and understand as we go through that transformation, that, Father, their responsibility will also be a big, big impact on the success we will have. And that they will know as we go through those particular transformations that we need them, and they will be the greatest benefactor as this transformation takes place. We give you glory and honor in the sweet, precious name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Believe it.